Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe.
I am a human, simple and weak. I call to the great ones for guidance.
Above
and below,
in all four directions,
and within the self.
My dreams melt into a hushed abyss. My voice blends into society's chaotic rhythms.
Look to the heavens, above society's strife.
To the stars,
where all is tranquility.
It is here that I wait.
Transcend your consciousness.
And draw from me dreams.
The world is cold and fearful. Skyscrapers and cement, ugliness and pain.
These shadows
are pieces of a world yet to be shaped.
Stretch them into the world's mountains.
Sing them into the sky's stars.
Cast them into ribbons of water.
Dance them into swaying fires.
Your hands have more power than you know. Carry me onto the canvas of your world and paint.
But I see nothing. My eyes blinded by a fog of colorless confusion, and I create nothing. My hands are empty and starved for purpose.
I am here, my child. I come to you from the womb of earth.
The depths of existence and all sustenance.
I, beauty, a body, majestic and mysterious, hold Creator's world with my hands.
I feel alone. Your good messages evaporated in sunlight. Your sacred stories lost to the sea.
My child, at your feet I give you soil. In your mind I give you infinity.
In your left hand
I give you a seed.
In your right hand
I give you a rain cloud. I bless you with beauty to create beauty. Create.
I have no confidence. A dim, withered light projects from my soul. The vital organs of my words are weak.
I come to you from the divine core of your essence. I am here to assist you with honor, respect, loyalty. Let my mystic knowledge radiate from you.
In droplets of inspiration.
That saturate the soil of others' minds.
Blossoming new crops.
Etch a piece of your existence upon them.
Share with those who misuse my powers.
With those seeking answers.
With those who know me not.
My muscles struggle to share, to teach. My vocal cords shrivel and shriek soundless complaints. I am still unknown.
We are the voices of your ancestors surrounding you.
Look about your world and you will find us.
We are underneath the rocks.
On the highest cliffs.
Deep inside the darkest caves.
Within the roots of plants.
We swim through the air you breathe.
We flow through the rivers of your mind.
We are reflected in the eyes of the person beside you.
We travel unseen through the ears of people.
We live in stories pouring from your relatives' lips.
We speak through our native songs.
Listen to your dreams above you.
Listen to the beauty beneath you.
Listen to the spirit within you.
Listen. We have offered our wisdom.
I accept your teachings. They will become my power to walk in harmony.
We just heard the piece Blessing from the disc Moccasins and Microphones, Modern Native Storytelling Through Performance Poetry, from the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Team. And we have here with us in the cafe three of the members from the Spoken Word Team. And I'm going to let each of the girls introduce herself.
Ani Abjugik Matsuta Atspan Jugik Danyagamigog Aida Danyagog Ranjut Ishinit Shchukduak District. Hello, my name is Ariel Antone. I'm from the Thanatham Nation. I'm 17 years old and a senior at Santa Fe Indian School.
Yet is in Tanishori Nazbainishe, the Nebuke and the Shah, Puglini Schle, Bittigana Bush's Chin, Chanela Kiani Danali, Ahihe.
Hello, my name is Santana Shorty. I am from the Navajo Nation.
I am 18 years old, a senior at the Santa Fe Indian School, and co-captain of the spoken word team.
Yat e klarna tanaba jishle, Dutch belagana nishle, tachitni bashishchin, Slovakian deshiche, tachitni deshinele. Hello, my name is Clara Natanaba. I'm from the Diné Nation, and I'm a senior this year and co-captain of the spoken word team.
And Tim McLaughlin is director of the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Program. Welcome.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I'm so happy to be here today.
So you've been doing this program, leading this program for 8 years.
That's right. I founded the program in 2003, about 8 years ago, and this is my 9th year at the Santa Fe Indian School. And today we're so happy to talk about this new theater show that we're going to present at the Lenzic Theater, Moccasins and Microphones, Modern Native Storytelling Through Performance Poetry. And it's a theater show that's built from the poems of our brand new CD with Native and contemporary song and dance interwoven.
Moccasins and Microphones, this coming Sunday, the 3rd of April at 5 o'clock at the Lenzic. And you're going to be performing a lot of work that is on this disc, which is just an amazing accomplishment. Now, did you all write this poetry in class as part of the spoken word team?
Yes, we did. During the spoken word meetings that were held on Wednesday nights, and also sometimes in creative writing. And a lot of the pieces are also written like over the summer, because we take some trips like to San Francisco, or this year going to Washington, D.C. So we usually try to write a group piece with the new group members that are going on the trip with us over the summer.
One of the things that's so striking about the work you do is that it incorporates a lot of Native traditional images and mythologies, Native traditional forms, and a very contemporary, mostly English language, spoken word way of doing them. And making that synthesis, doing that combination is an accomplishment of not only heart, but really of craft. What's the process like? In other words, do you read poetry together, use existing poetry as your inspiration, as the teacher, Tim, for example?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say a little bit about the art form itself. You know, it's called spoken word poetry, or some people think of it as slam poetry, and we've sort of moved away from that genre, but certainly it begins with, crafting the piece. The program was initiated as an outlet for students to share their truth, share their stories. And of course, the students at the Santa Fe Indian School all come from tribal communities, mostly in New Mexico and Arizona. So they come from this rich cultural heritage and legacy. And so they have so many stories and so many things to say. So essentially, this is a modern form of storytelling, where the young people who are, coming from these profound cultures are also regular teenagers, and so they can speak something that's very profound and ancient in this new modern way that's a mixture of writing and song and dance and theater, and has elements of many different types of cultures and musics. So, but it always begins with the craft itself on the page, and the writing and the stories, and so that part of the process is integral, and it's something that we keep at the center of what we do all the time. And so moving from an initial draft to a second or third draft to something that's ready to be performed, and then performed again and refined and made into a real work of beauty that communicates a message and holds power. The vibration of the poem holds spiritual power. Power, I believe, to heal and to enlighten, of course, to educate and to inspire others. And I think the poems, often we talk about the earth, and we talk about the kids write about their family members and their cultural practices. These are all things that I believe the world needs to know about, and the kids need to express to be able to understand who they are. I mean, they're exploring their own identity, and their identity is that they're Native and that they come from these tribal communities, but that they're also teenagers navigating this very complicated modern world. So it's that big mélange that you're speaking to that's very interesting.
And that there's mixed heritage, and that mixed heritage comes out in some of the poetry that you do. One of the things that I find really interesting about some of the pieces on this spoken word disc is that there is this whole question of language, of native languages, and I wondered whether the three of you grew up speaking your native languages, whether you've had to reclaim them as teenagers. What was it like for each of you at home?
For me, I went to school on the reservation, on the Thanatum reservation, and it was a must that every student had to know, you know, how to talk the language and learn it. And still today, they have required classes, you know, like how here at the Indian school we have to take at least 2 years of four, 2 years of language. I think, yeah, the program helped me connect back with my culture more, like within songs and stuff. I didn't think it was that important, but now that I'm here, I truly believe that it is something to be proud of.
And that is incorporated into the poetry that you do.
Yes.
What about you?
The poetry has definitely been a way for me to connect back to my culture. I'm one of the half-breeds, I guess you could say. I'm half Navajo and half Anglo descent. And so when my parents were together, I was learning some traditions, but I was not learning the Navajo language. And it's something I do regret, and I do want to change, you know, soon, hopefully in my life, is to learn the language. But in our poetry, we do incorporate our native languages. So it's really been, I guess, a push for me to learn my Navajo language. And, you know, there would be some things I wanted to put in the poem in Navajo, and I would have to go back to my dad or my grandfather to learn it. So it's actually been a way to facilitate that learning and even increase my interest in my culture and how I need to really, I guess, amp up my eagerness.
Has it connected you with your family, with your Navajo-speaking family, to be doing this spoken word work?
Yes, actually, especially for the poem Diabetes, in which there's four ladies in the poem, Autumn, Billy, who's not here right now, Ariel, Claire, and myself, and we take on the voice of a grandparent in our family or an aunt who has diabetes. So I went home, or my grandfather came to my hometown, and I sat with him for 4 or 5 hours with a recorder in my hand, and he was telling me these old stories about my grandmother, about being in the Korean War, about growing up on the reservation, about the pain of diabetes and the pain of losing his wife, my grandmother. So it's really, really been a way for me to reconnect to my culture and my family and just know who my family is, because sometimes that language barrier can be hard. You know, I was very, very close to my grandmother, my Navajo grandmother, and we never spoke the same language. She only spoke Navajo and I only spoke English. So I actually never had a verbal conversation with her, you know, an exchange of words. It was always just through emotion or through touch. So I don't want that same thing to happen with my grandfather. You know, I will learn the language soon so that I can speak to him.
Clara, what about you? Did you grow up speaking your native language?
No, I didn't grow up speaking Navajo, partly because I live off the reservation. I live here in Santa Fe, and most of my family speaks Navajo, but they live back on the reservation in Arizona. So I grew up apart. Like, I didn't really grow up learning my language because I never heard it. And when I went and joined the Spoken Word Club, I really felt the push to go back and to learn and to really talk to my grandmothers. And it kind of changed our entire dialogue, I think, because before, you know, we were having regular conversations like grandmother and granddaughter conversations, but now it had a whole new meaning. Like, I wanted to learn who I am by who they are. So I feel like by joining the program and learning these poems and also meeting other people like Santana, who are like me, who are, you know, half-breeds, we kind of grew up together, and we've been through the struggles together of learning our language and writing poems together that incorporate our language. And we kind of bounce ideas back and forth and say, this is what my family says it's supposed to sound like, and this is my family. Okay, so let's figure this out. And, you know, it's been a whole new learning process for myself. I feel like I've been in this program for 5 years now, and it's shown me a whole new person, I guess, of who I am. I know more clearly where I'm from and the people that I'm made of, and it makes me proud to be Navajo again. Whereas before, I'm sure if I went to a public school, if I didn't join the spoken word club, I would just be, you know, an urban kid, and I would feel always have that disconnection. So I really do believe that by being in this program, I've learned who I am.
The next poem that we're going to talk about is called Popeye. What is the genesis of this poem? Before we hear it, maybe one or more of you could talk about it. Ariel, are you the writer of this poem originally?
I was part of the original three who wrote it. It's basically about the Pueblo Revolt, having to do with the Pueblos, and how they fought for their traditions and fighting against the Spanish conquistadors.
The Popeye poem is really about reclaiming your culture and fighting for your beliefs. And as we have a story and an historical fact, but we tell it through story form of Popeye and his journey and his right to stick up for for the Pueblo people. It's about how in 1680, the first revolt in American history occurred between the Pueblos and the Spanish people. So, in the story, Popeye is the main person who we speak about, and he's really the leader of the Pueblo Revolt, or one of the many leaders of the Pueblo Revolt.
Let's hear the poem now, and we'll be back in just a moment.
1539, our ancestors
encountered droughts
and strangers from the south.
Sasio, sia, hinya.
Napia, napita.
My mothers, my fathers.
Gatopa in kepi, digi.
We heard you white men were out there.
Gatpoa het ho pipo abi, we shani.
So we came to welcome you with a dance.
They came to us
with six legs, two arms,
and four eyes.
They became known as
Incueco,
the Spanish people.
They brought horses
and metal for death. They came to take our religion,
but we held on tenaciously. They left us only with starvation.
We traded our crops,
clothing,
and connection with the spirits
for a contradictory conversion to Catholicism.
Our leaders were held captive until the commodities were collected.
Those who refused to convert were forced to live as outcasts,
away from their people.
A hungry feeling, stronger than love or hate,
burned our hearts and minds.
Our stomachs were torn by pain.
Our bodies plagued with weakness.
The hunger consumed even the strongest and wisest.
Starvation of the spirit
forced our lives into emptiness.
Until 1680, the seeds of revolution ripened.
Popeye, warrior of the Pueblo people,
fought to guard the cultural ways of our ancestors.
He was the cornfields where courage grew,
the balance of pure nourishment
from Father Sun
and Mother Earth,
empowered him to braid prayer
and hope
into knots,
lacing the necklace of revolution.
Thick cords of yucca were sent out with runners
to the pueblos of Tiwa,
Towa,
Tewa,
and Karis speakers.
The cords were designed
to count down the days to the revolt.
Each day,
untie one knot.
The revolt came closer.
The pueblos united
to rise above the ashes of racial fires.
Four knots left.
The day drew closer. Villagers prepared in secrecy, but the Suki runners were caught.
Katua
and Amtua.
The Spaniards thought they had time to kill us all.
Three knots to go.
An urgent message was sent with runners to revolt the next day.
Two knots to go.
The revolt erupted.
Pueblos attacked. Popeye, savior to our generation,
A man from Okeyoinge.
Who blessed us with freedom.
From the slavery of persecution.
A dissident.
Who fought for us and our ways.
A leader.
Who united all pueblos and nations.
He sacrificed his spirit for me.
For you.
For us.
Today, images of who we are become clear as we flip through worn textbooks of ancestral times.
Day by day,
we stand proud.
Our skin as brown as the mountains our people dwelled on.
Our eyes filled with ancient tales that flow in the rush of a stream.
Our fingers weave intricate blankets of colorful tradition.
I live today.
I live today.
I live today.
We live today,
practicing our religions
and speaking our languages
because of a man from long ago
who led the pueblos from darkness back to the good path. We stand in gratitude
for everyone who fought for our old ways.
Hutsuna.
Kuntawaha.
Ehehe.
And we just heard Pope, performed by the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Team, who are going to be performing this coming Sunday at the Lensic. We'll talk about that again at the end. A poem like that, there's so much going on in it, and one of the things that strikes me is really the musicality and rhythms of that poem are brought out by the way that people speak solo and in duets and together. Is that part of the spoken word form, Tim, that you're teaching?
Yes.
Is that something that they've kind of come up with themselves?
Well, it's a collaborative effort, but I really believe that it is like composing a song, that it's very much a musical art form, and that you need to think about all those different aspects of songwriting, you know, in terms of the different voices, the levels, the volume, the cadence, the dynamics of the voice. But most importantly is you know, maybe what would be called theater aspects, to put yourself into the piece completely and give yourself to it and bring out the emotional truth of it and present the event as a story. We always try to look at weighty and heavy issues through an artistic lens and show the personal stories behind some issues that are very heavy, like the Pueblo Revolt. And I think one of the things that's most beautiful about that piece, Pope, is that it, you know, it has an undercurrent of standing up, of course, or maybe not even an undercurrent, an explicit message of standing up and defending the culture, but not from a place of anger or hostility so much, the way the kids present it, that there's beauty in sort of trying to transform the negative history and find peace and solace with it and wholeness again. And I think our pieces do that in many cases.
It's also so very striking how clearly each of you speaks, how articulate each person is, not only in the way the poems are written, but in the way it's performed. What was it like to learn how to do that? I mean, I don't know, Tim, were they all naturals, or is this also a long learning?
I'm just giggling because I'm glad we finally got to the point where it seems like it's natural. No, we were all very little 7th or 8th graders, and we tapped our foot, or we had like these nervous arm twitches whenever we performed, and we had like itty bitty little voices. So it's taken a lot of practice to get to this point, to have a clean, articulate CD.
What's that experience been like for you, Ariel?
I was the nervous type, as you can probably notice, and it was a challenge. But it was fun because now, like, can kind of talk clearly now.
What's so funny is here you are seeming nervous and shy, and you are so powerful when you when you speak on stage. Have you had to get over stage fright?
Yes, I have. And it was really hard, but I pushed myself. McLaughlin pushed me, Santana, Clara pushed me, and it was a good push because made that voice in me.
What I've found, Mary Charlotte, is that the only prerequisite, if you will, for the young people that join the team is a real interest and in many cases a talent for writing. And the presentation skills are almost always not really there or not developed. And I feel like they can be developed in almost anyone. How to speak and present yourself, and also just how to inhabit your body and get in connection with your breath and with your emotions and all that sort of thing. And, you know, after 14 years of teaching, I feel like if there's one sort of diagnosis I can give to the current educational model, it's that we're teaching almost exclusively to the mind and to the head, and we're not integrating the body and the heart as much as we should. And I believe that this program is doing something a little different, and it's an educational model that's more energizing for me as a teacher, and I believe for the students as well. And they're more comfortable. They're going to be able to present themselves in any setting or situation after graduating from this program.
Clara, you also have found, or maybe you already knew, that you had a gift for singing. That's part of this DISC as well.
Yes. I basically owe it all to McLaughlin and to Mari.
Mari Sato, who is a beautiful singer who is participating in...
She's the assistant coach.
Assisting in this class.
Yeah. So, we all have our own little spoken word stories, but I showed up in spoken word when I was in eighth grade, and I had my hair in my face, and I was always shuffling my feet, and I was basically just quiet. I would not say anything to anybody, much less look them in the eye or go up and say hi to them. So, I was really shy, and you could tell that I didn't have the confidence that I needed. And spoken word gave me that. After a couple of years of spoken word, I decided that, like, okay, I know that I can sing. I know I want to sing, so I'm going to try this. So, you know, it really started coming out when we started writing our We Come From poem. That was the first time I ever composed a song to be in a poem. So that forced me to sing and to perform and to show my face and to be confident on stage. So that's basically where it all started, and from then on I just perform singing nonstop, and I sing going down the hallways at school, and I have a singing class at school. So I really think that because I was in this program, I have the confidence now, and I feel like I've learned a lot of skills from Mari Sato, who's basically taken me under her wing and really showed me how to be an authentic singer. And McLaughlin showed me how to be an authentic poet. So having both of those combined, it's really a powerful force that I feel I need to keep learning and keep writing and keep singing to be able to fulfill the position that I know that I want to have eventually.
There is this movement from the mind to the page, and then you're working with a poem, and then you're working with a spoken word piece, then you're working with a CD that you made, this wonderful disc called Moccasins and Microphones, which is also the name of the performance coming up on Sunday. And then the performance has yet another element, which is the theatrical element to it. How did you, Tim, develop that with the team?
Yeah, well, the program in the beginning, as I said, was sort of part of this poetry slam culture. And the form, if you will, for a slam poem is essentially this 3 to 4 minute type self-contained piece that takes on an issue, whether it's societal or personal or whatnot. And, you know, had the students writing poems or short stories and presenting them and learning how to present and build their self-confidence, all these things we've been talking about. And, you know, we started to build a repertoire, and many of the pieces are about Native American issues or Native American identity, you know, indigenous culture or issues that are significant to Native peoples. And I, years ago, started to see that there could be a larger continuous story. And I dreamed of a theater production. And now we're there. You know, we've come to this place where we built the CD and we've taken many of the poems from the poetry CD and woven them together in a what I call a liberated storyline that follows two young Native American teenagers, a male and a female, from their birth through their blessing into their culture, through their education at a Native boarding school, and then out into the world. And one of the characters is going to be recruited into war immediately. The other character is going to go on a spiritual path, and then they sort of come back together at the end and have this statement of who we are as a program and who these young people are, as I said before, Native, modern teenagers. So it's a portrait of that through poetry and song and movement. And the musical aspect has been wonderful to journey with. Of course, the poems are musical, but we're also bringing in songs from the young people's traditional homes, their home communities. And often they're gathering those songs from their elders or their grandparents, And so we fit them in with the poems, and then we start to build within the poems themselves, but also with the larger storyline, movements and gestures and now dances. And the dance itself, too, is very often a mixture of native steps and modern stomp dance. And again, I see that as a portrait of who these young people are. And I think they have messages that are important. So this theater show has come together, and I think it's really special. I know we've been so lucky to get so much positive attention over at least the past 4 or 5 years. And I think this is the greatest thing that we've put together. And I don't know that we'll be in a culminating moment like this again in the very near future. So I think it's a big moment for us, and we're so grateful to the Lenzic Performing Arts Center, who's been very generous with us, and they're working with us on all aspects of this. And we're also grateful to the Santa Fe Opera, who's been in partnership with us this year. They've given us the expert Akushla Bastable, who's working on the theater aspects of the show,
right.
And the Santa Fe Opera Guild is providing a volunteer workforce, and so. It's become this community event, and it's the way it should be, I believe.
It is a do-not-miss event, ladies and gentlemen, in Radioland, definitely.
Thank you. I really believe that, but I need you to say it.
No, definitely. I mean, having gone to the rehearsal, having listened to the disc, this is as good as it gets. It's realized poetry by young people who are working at a much higher level than a lot of adult poets, let's put it that way. Let's listen to another poem, and maybe one of you can introduce the poem, People Are So Ignorant.
The next selection was written by Andrew Nutumia, who's a graduate of the program, and he wrote it more as a hip-hop style piece, and it's essentially about environmental destruction and the mistakes that human beings have made with regard to our treatment of our mother, the Earth. We brought Nolan Esquites, who's the apprentice coach of the program, onto the piece, because he's also at this point become an accomplished beatboxer. And these two, with the help of myself and Mati Sato, worked up a great arrangement that I think is really excellent. And it's a beautiful way of sending a message about how we should be stewards of our mother.
Let's check it out.
I swear, people are so ignorant.
Can't appreciate the gifts that are given to them.
Can't appreciate the world that they live in.
A life like that is a life full of sin.
Nothing's wrong with the planet. It's the people who live on it who take advantage and take for granted. It's hard to imagine where we wouldn't be without pollution in the air or in the sea.
Society
ain't no friend to me. It makes me believe that a tree is nothing, but what they can't see is it lives like you and me. It needs water to drink
and air to breathe. It has children too. You can call them its seed.
Have you ever sat back and watched the plant bleed? I have, and it ain't no sight to see. It's like watching someone struggle and then decease. Why will we take from our mother when we have a perfectly strong father with unlimited power? Just point some panels up and absorb the solar shower.
Why not?
It shines for more than 13 hours. Are we that much a coward than to take on the man? So we drill holes into the land? I don't understand. If the world is living and its blood is the oil and its skin is the soil,
why do we let it spoil?
Man, things are getting hot, and we are wrapped in foil, tossed into the pot and left there to boil. Yo, I got to go because I can't take much more of this turmoil.
Innocence is a gift given to the children.
But the presents that are presently present aren't worth stealing. And a future full of nothing is what humans started building. We become such bad addicts that we can't stop the killing of each other. Our mother. The animals and plants. Ancient tales told me to respect even the ants. Before written times, like family, they took us in.
Gave us food, a home, showed compassion.
So how do we express our unconditional thanks? By bombing their colonies with pesticide tanks. I guess that's just the situation at hand. Destroy what we can no longer understand.
Man, forget that.
We the people have become the unknown virus that eats our mother's body, making everything lifeless. Somewhere down the road we lost our harmony. Now all we seem to do is harm the many. I swear people are so ignorant.
Can't appreciate the gifts that are given to them.
Can't appreciate the world that they live in.
A life like that is a life full of sin.
I feel like a bum, always begging for change, just trying to make sense out of everything. This nonsense is what keeps on driving me insane, praying for rain, but the storm drifts away. Scorched forest is a product of the growing flame. Mistakes we have made are embedded in my brain. Am I the only one who is feeling this pain? Can't be the only with guilt flowing through my veins. But every day I search to seek forgiveness. It's in this new light we see our ignorance. Hopefully tomorrow's weather will be better than today's. Until then, I will be that bum, desperately begging for a change. I swear, people are so ignorant.
Can't appreciate the gifts that are given to them.
Can't appreciate the world that they live in.
A life like that is a life full of sin.
And we just heard the piece, People Are So Ignorant, by the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Team. And that piece is striking to me because it's kind of an interesting and seamless combination between traditional ideas and contemporary forms, and done in a way that's creative and, to my mind, avoids some of the cliches perpetrated by the tourist industry and things like that, which I imagine that you as a teacher have to really teach people how to avoid. Tim?
Yeah, just shaping the pieces and making them real pieces of art is a big part of my job, I believe, and making it the highest expression of the student's truth, or a more universal truth, or both.
You students, as poets, do you have this moment where you know the piece is real, where it's like reached a point of, I don't know what you want to call it, realization or being finished, or really speaking that truth that you were trying to get to?
For me, I think the first time that happened was during Popé poem. I always have to get in the right mindset before I start that poem, because it's one of the poems where you have to be really strong and get the message across. So I feel like I have to put on, or I have to experience the poem fully to do it justice. And for me, when I'm doing the poem, like, sometimes my face will get red and like I'll get out of breath, because I feel like, or I see myself running through a desert, like the runners, or I feel like I can hear the drums and everything's just getting louder and, you know, kind of expanding into the space. And then we have this point in the poem where it just silences and you rest in that moment. And for me, that's where it turns on and just like real, and everybody gets there to that point, and you feel the moment fully for what it is. And then you end the poem in a beautiful way, and you leave people with that experience. So for me, that Popé poem is really strong and powerful and very vivid in my mind. I can experience all of my senses through that whole poem. So for me, that's what it is.
Do you have an experience like that in, for example, in the writing of the poem, Santana?
Yes, we were actually having this conversation the other day with some of the poets and Mr. McLaughlin about when, you know, when I write a poem, there's drafts and drafts and drafts, and especially when it's a group poem, there's draft upon draft of highlighting whose lines are what, where the core lines are, where the duet lines are, where the, you know, one person comes in on another line or stops. It's pretty complicated, and sometimes you're still changing the text. But there is a point when you're writing and when you've started verbalizing the poem that you know, like, this is how it's supposed to be. Like, it's almost, at that point, it almost becomes sacred. Like you don't want to change it. You feel that it'll be almost changing. It's like, you know, putting a little person together almost. You know, you're changing the characteristics constantly, and then finally, like, you just let it grow up into what it becomes, which is, you know, this very beautiful choreographed poem. And sometimes, though, I have a new individual piece that I've been working on, and sometimes when I'm performing it and I have it memorized, there's lines that I keep changing that aren't on the text. And it's almost like your poem is telling you to change that line, you know, to physically change the actual written text. So poems kind of end up changing on their own. They almost take on a life of their own, really. And I'm going to go back to that poem, and on the computer, I'm going to change the text the way that poem wants it to be. So in a way, it's almost like a give and take, and an understanding of when, like, when it needs to be left alone.
Ariel, how about you?
Like Santana and Clara's together, writing group poems, I like to wait and see how it comes out. Like,
what cool new thing are we going to pop out next? Like evolution, it's something different and it's fun. I've had the pleasure of performing it sometimes, and it just makes you free. Like during class, I'll sit there and like lines will just be popping out of my head, and I'll just have to get a piece of paper and write it down, and then when I look at it by the end of the week or month, and it kind of all fits together, or there are different topics for different poems I can possibly write. Recently writing a poem about my mom, and it's coming out good.
Clara, would you like to introduce the poem Evolution?
Sure. The poem Evolution expresses the idea that hip-hop, for example, drawing, painting, modern dance, song, and storytelling have their roots in native culture.
Why don't we hear that piece right now, and we'll be right back. This is Evolution by the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Team.
Saya kini saya ne wo ya e
ya na huet ya na huet ya na huet ne ne huet yohan ya na huet. We are the new generation, history carved this creation, modern form of meditation. Oh, oh, we are the new generation, history carved this creation, modern form of meditation. So are you gonna listen?
Nihil John Shahe, I have a story. In the beginning,
there was the word,
and it was spoken.
Native Americans saying,
for centuries, our people told stories
that saved our minds from complacency
and our hearts from ignorance of the past.
Our spiritual offering to the world
through language
wrapped in the breath of elders
who hold our creation,
our history
on their tongues.
We youth spin modern truth to rhythms.
We speak
to know who we are.
We write
to remember who we were. Bring the beat
back to when we could see the sky.
Before we were blinded by buildings.
When our ancestors
scratched stories of our place in the universe
onto rock walls.
Now we bond
desert brown
and sky blue
onto buildings.
Like colors make it possible to fly again.
We paint pottery designs
not to prostitute our cultures,
but to show their beauty.
Bring the beat
back
to a time when the land's
thunderous heartbeat was crafted by drums.
We sang to connect with the heavens.
Rain.
Blessed droplets.
Purified.
And protected us.
7 generations later.
We sing.
To remember those who have gone before.
They've become the perfect soil.
To grow our cultures.
Instrumental and acapella vinyls.
Mashed together in revolutions called remixes. Bring the beat
back
to an earth's pulse.
Echoed through our souls.
Swirling clouds padded the sky.
We drank music through rain.
Dance was a prayer.
To land.
Plants.
Animals.
Wind,
sky,
clouds,
spirits,
dust seeped into our skin
and dripped from our feet,
rooting us to earth.
Now we pray through dance floors, turntables, spray cans,
and microphones.
From the roots to the fruits, we are our ancestors.
And once again, that was the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Team and their piece Evolution. And they will be performing Moccasins and Microphones, Modern Native Storytelling Through Performance Poetry, on Sunday, the 3rd of April at 5 o'clock at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center. This is their big event. It's the culmination of many years of work under the guidance of coach and program director Tim McLaughlin. And you have taken this team all over the country, and even abroad.
That's right. Yeah, the heart of the program in the initial years was an exchange trip to the San Francisco Bay Area. And we did that for 4 years, where essentially had the kids performing and teaching and speaking and presenting and sort of immersed in this world for 7 full days, and they were forged as artists in that time, and that's sort of how we built the core group in the beginning years, you know. And then it's grown now to the point where the program is actually a course at the Santa Fe Indian School, and the young people are earning academic credit for doing this work of spoken word poetry. And we had the wonderful opportunity to travel abroad to Eastern Europe, to the Baltic countries of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And that was all organized and sponsored by the U.S. State Department through the U.S. embassies in those 3 countries. And that was a phenomenal experience that was, I think, life-shaping for all of my students, as well as a lot of the young people that we met over there in those countries that were so appreciative of what we had to offer. And their cultures and histories and traditions are astonishingly similar to native cultures in this country, and histories and traditions. And to explore all those parallels was a fascinating experience, and one that I would have never imagined would have been part of the journey. I'm so grateful for it.
Now, all of you girls are seniors. What are you planning on doing next year? What are you planning on doing in the future? Do you have any idea yet?
I am going to go to University of Arizona in Tucson, Arizona. I want to study creative writing and take it back to my reservation and teach it in a somewhat similar way, the way I am now.
I actually am not quite sure where I'm going to college yet. I'm still waiting on letters, but the Baltic Exchange really changed my life in so many ways, and it really gave me an appreciation for traveling and meeting new people, experiencing other cultures, trying the food, learning about their history, and the connection between native culture and the Baltic people culture was so significant and just really amazing to me. So I really want to be traveling in my college years. I want to take international studies, international relations, and I really want to see if I can go back to the Baltic countries and bring more of my heritage with me and, you know, do a compare and contrast of the cultures. And it was really profound. Even some of the woven Navajo belts were so close in design to the Baltic women woven belts, and they had carding brushes, wool carding brushes and spindles, and it was so life-changing. So I hope to be traveling in my college years.
For me, I still don't know where I'm going to go to college either, but I know that my path is music. So wherever I end up, I'm going to be writing music. I hope to become a professional singer and songwriter. And I also want to travel the world, touring and sharing my music with others. Inspiration from Mari Sato, she really showed me the power of sacred world music. So both of the colleges that are my top choices offer sacred world music classes. So I'm definitely going to get more involved in that and hopefully learn more songs from my grandmothers and grandfathers and be able to share my culture with the other cultures and really have that exchange again.
Ariel Antone, Santana Shorty, Clara Natonoba, and Tim McLaughlin, director of the Santa Fe Indian School Spoken Word Program here in New Mexico. Once again, we will see you on Sunday, April 3rd at 5 o'clock at the Lensic. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It was an honor to be here today.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.